This Diehard Eagles Week 2 edition on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by MyBookie.ag. Winning season is back, and MyBookie is now offering a 100% deposit bonus when you use the promo code SGP. That's MyBookie.ag, promo code SGP to play, win, and get paid. We're also brought to you by the leaders in daily fantasy, DraftKings. For a limited time, new users can get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes this week. Don't miss out on the Week 2 action. Enter code SGP to get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes with your first deposit. That's code SGP only at DraftKings. We're also brought to you by BetQL. Want to get an advantage over the sportsbook with NBA, NHL, college football, MLB, and the NFL back in action? You need to download BetQL, the only app you'll need to make smart bets this season. Head to BetQL.co and enter code SGP20 for 20% off your first subscription. That's BetQL.co, promo code SGP20. Finally, we're brought to you by Ace Per Head. Ace is the leader in pay per head providers, and they make it super easy to start your own sportsbook. Plus, Ace is offering up to 6 weeks free over at aceperhead.com/SGP. That's aceperhead.com/SGP. Welcome everyone to the Die Hard Eagles podcast. I'm Sean, stacking the money green with my two co-hosts, fellow Eagles fan. First up, Justin. Justin, what's happening?
How's it going, Sean? Just dusting myself off from this last week's loss.
I thought you were dusting yourself off because you were like eating a powdered donut and got it all over your shirt.
I mean, that too. You might have got me there.
You just heard him laughing. That's the other member of the trifecta, Rob. Rob, what's your rage level at right now in the Eagles? Felt like you were peaking. You were peaking early on in the week.
I'd say I peaked on Monday or Tuesday. I've dropped a little now, but you know, there's always the possibility Sunday it goes even higher. So we'll see.
All right. So I think that's a good place to start off. We're gonna assign blame. Take care of week one. Recap that, and then move on. What kind of matchups we like? What do we like out of the Eagles Rams moving forward? Starting it off with the blame game, rank the three main reasons for the loss. Seems like the three big contributors are Wentz, the offensive line, and Doug P. Rob, I'll let you go in order. Who does this loss belong to?
All right. Well, you know, this is a tight one. And I went back and forth between Doug P and Wentz as number one. I'm going to settle on Doug P, and here's why. We knew going into this game, the offensive line was going to be in shambles. There was no surprise, you know, Brandon Brooks was injured some time ago. It was known Lane may not play. You also knew Miles Sanders may not play, which affects the line in an indirect way. And I just thought that he did absolutely nothing to scheme away from that line. He didn't run any rollouts, bootlegs. So I got to go number one, you know, Doug P. I thought his game plan, you know, not that you can make up for a poor line, but I thought he could have done things to kind of minimize the effect of that. And number two is Wentz. You know, fifth year in the league now, he's got to play better than that. There's no excuses. Held on to the ball far too long with his hero ball. You got to throw it away. You got to get it out quick. And you can't take, you know, you can't have turnovers that hurt the team. You know, number three, O-line. They played terrible. You know, part of that is guys that shouldn't have had to be in there. You know, missing Lane's huge. The statistics when Lane's out, the Eagles are, I think, a 500 or, you know, sub 500 team. When Lane plays, they're way over 500. So that's the order I got it.
Justin, what are you doing? Is Doug P number one, Wentz number one, or O-line?
I think no doubt about it in my mind. I thought about this, but it's got to be Wentz. Big reason why is because they were up 17-0 in my mind. When you're up that high, I mean, you can't be making the mistakes that he did. I was really upset, actually, with just this whole demeanor on the sideline. I think with a winning quarterback, you got to be a little bit more confident over there. And when you know that your O-line's banged up the way that they are, and there's quite a few new guys in there, or not as many starters, you got to be talking them up. You got to be giving them confidence and letting them know that, yeah, it sucks that you made the mistake, but come on, we're in this together, guys. We could still win this. And I just didn't see any of that from him. There was no pep in the step at all. Once he threw the second INT, it looked like he almost gave up. So I really put a lot of blame on Wentz. Doug P would probably be next. He wasn't first just because he did have a decent game plan to start. Obviously, and you could give Wentz some of that credit too, obviously, to get us up 17-0. So what Doug P originally thought would work did work originally. And then obviously you got to adapt to the game, especially when guys start to go down like they did within the game itself. But I would give him second, and then O-line third. Even though, I mean, eight sacks is still eight sacks, so they still should garner a lot of the blame. But as Doug P kind of pointed out, I mean, it's not always O-line. You got to think about a running backs in there, giving pass protection, the tight ends as well. But there you go.
Yeah, I'll go Wentz number one, Doug P number two, offensive line number three. Wentz just, he didn't get it done. That interception right before half kind of was the domino that mm-hmm. tipped the game in a certain way. Like, yeah, you can critique Doug Peterson, and he certainly deserves a lot, but Doug Peterson coached a good enough game to win the game, I think. And Wentz played good enough to win for, like, you know, the first quarter and then half of the second half, and then just lost it in the second half. So yeah, I think Wentz clearly got to put some blame on him and the majority of the blame. Doug P. I mean, Rob just kind of hit on it, but like you're running five wide and an empty shotgun. It's like, no, they're just dominating us up front. The four defensive linemen just putting a shit ton of pressure, and you've seen what that's doing to Wentz. Like, you have to adjust. And that's what's troubling to me. I think why people are so pissed off. A, we lost to the football team. They don't even have a name. Two, it's not like they lost in some crazy heartbreaking way or whatever. Like, the way they lost is the same way they've lost in 2018 and 2019. So that's, I think, is why people were so freaking out about it. It's just in the bad games that we've had those previous past years, it looked identical. Offensive line. Yeah. I mean, you could say the injuries, but even guys that weren't injured, you know, like Jason Kelsey let up a sack. Like, that guy was supposed to be solid and don't even have to worry about him. Jason Peters still looks like shit. But I don't even know what you do there at this point. You're right. Lane coming back could be what this offensive line needs. And Doug P is starting Nate Herbig, or at least that's what they announced. I think he's going to be on a short leash. I wouldn't be surprised if Driscoll goes in there at right guard, who, you know, considering he came in cold and that was his first game in the NFL, he'd never even been to an NFL game before, even as a fan. I don't think Driscoll did a horrible job, and he kind of stuck with plays when some of the linemen weren't doing that. So I would move him to right guard over Herbig, and maybe that's what they end up doing once Aaron Donald bull rushes him a couple times. I think those are the obvious ones for me. And under the radar loss is Fletcher Cox. Like, he just, where is this guy? Like, last year it's like, oh, he's a down year, 'cause you know, he's working back from injury, and yeah, it was a little, but like, the dude has no impact plays. Like, I think by salary, definitely on the defense, but maybe even he's up there with Wentz is the highest paid guy on the roster. Like, you can't just do nothing in a game. Crazy. Rob, what's a reason they lost that people aren't saying enough about?
You know, Sean, I'm actually right with you. I got it written down on my paper. I had the D line as a whole. Fletcher Cox being top of that list. You know, I can't say they played bad, but for this line that's so hyped up, that has all this talent, you know, Fletcher Cox, Malik Jackson, you know, Hargraves obviously didn't play. He's coming back, but they just didn't disrupt the game, especially against a young QB and Haskins, who's had his own struggles. You know, they were a non-factor. And to me, that's an under the radar reason for the loss.
Yeah, you got to figure out a way to turn Haskins over once. I mean, yes, Wentz and the offense shouldn't have turned it over three times, but anytime you lose a 3-0 in the turnover margin, you're not going to win. And their defense actually kind of played decently overall, but I mean, they held them to 3.4 yards per play, which normally you're definitely going to win if it wasn't for the turnovers. But yeah, I mean, there's just so much room for growth, especially out of Fletcher Cox. It's just, I don't get where he is. And I don't know what Doug Peterson's giving him a rest day during practice. Like, why? That guy needs to be in better shape or whatever. He needs to work on something. Justin, what's a reason people are, what's the reason they lost that not enough people are talking about?
I mean, turnovers are obviously there. I mean, Maddox dropped that ball, and then we couldn't recover that sack fumble that Haskins had. But
yeah,
just like a kind of under the radar one that I was thinking about was just the fact that, yeah, I know Miles Sanders, the lack of him has been brought up a little bit, but I just don't think it's enough. I think that would have been just, he could have been such a dynamic player in there and hopefully given us a little bit more in the run game. I mean, what do we have? Only 16 or 17 runs that entire game. I think if we could get a few more yards out of a guy, then we have a little bit more confidence to call those plays. But I mean, that would be probably the biggest thing under the radar in my book.
All right, now let's get to it. The real reason why they lost. What mistakes did you do as a fan, Justin, to cause this Eagles loss? Because we all deserve some part of the blame as fans, not carrying our end, not listening to the juju gods. Whatever we're doing, not enough. What are you going to do to shake things up next week?
So Sean, I thought I did everything right. I had on my my Super Bowl T-shirt from when they won, and I wore that the whole season. And then I had my new Wentz jersey on. But I, when you text in the thread, "Oh, I'm taking my hat off," and then you text back, "Oh, I'm going to put it back on," I went, "Oh shit, I totally forgot my hat." I forgot my hat, and I always have it on me during the game, and I don't know what happened, but I didn't have it. So that was my fault. To all the Eagles fans out there, I'll take the L. Sorry, Wentz.
Takes a big man. Sorry, O-line. You know, yeah. And much like when Wentz, when he went out at the podium, he just said, "I got to be better this week," and it's good to see that. Good to see that from you, Justin, as a fan. Rob, what'd you do?
Yeah, you know, I had a couple slip ups myself. you know, I had my normal T-shirt on. I had the Kelly Green Wentz jersey, but I didn't wear the jersey the whole game. I had it next to me on the couch, which I've done in the past successfully. But, you know, I'm thinking first week of the season, I probably should have had it on the whole game. So he knew, you know, we had the confidence. Also, I probably should have had the jerseys on the dogs. I think that slipped
Robbie,
my mind
come on.
This week.
Oh, Rob.
Look, I'm asking for forgiveness, and you know, we'll make it better next week.
Yes, I had the jersey on the dog. I had my Wentz jersey that I wore through the Super Bowl run. I had a hat that I used last year, and I'm starting to think this hat is really more a curse than a blessing. If you guys recall my bachelor party 2018, the lucky hat that I had been wearing from the Super Bowl run of 2017, I left it at the Las Vegas airport. And I think the team's mojo hasn't been the same. So I'm trotting out a different Eagles hat, and I'm using that. Using that as like, you know, a step forward, looking to turn the page. All right. So now that we're starting 0-1, that's horrific. But moving forward, what, as like a season long, what are you most concerned about, Justin?
Carson Wentz. I hate to say it, but the reason I'm most worried about Carson is I think that the season really relies on him. So that's where the worry should be. I do think he can come back. I think he can come back this week and fix some of those errors and mistakes, but he's had the issue of fumbling since he's come into the league. And I mean, at some point you got to fix that or else it's going to bite you. And it's starting to bite him more than it has in the past. And you would have thought that he would have cleaned those up by now, but he's got to clean it up ASAP or else we're going to be in the shitter.
And I don't understand it. Like we, in the thread, we're always talking about mechanics, and in 2017, mm-hmm. he had that awesome year where they did stuff with the QB coach. He had Frank and Reich and DeFilippo grinding him, and he had a almost MVP like season until, of course, he blew out his ACL. But I just don't understand why he's hesitant to take coaching. Like he saw the results when he worked on his footwork, when he worked on his mechanics, but he doesn't seem open to going back to that or to being coached hard. I think that's part of Press Taylor's problem. He's friends with Wentz. Like you need someone who's going to be in there and be a hard ass on Wentz. And like for Wentz, you saw the results. Like as a guy who hosts a podcast, if we had a guest on or we did some particular segment and downloads were much higher and we were putting up MVP download numbers, I would keep doing that. Like, I don't know what is going on, Rob, that Wentz doesn't seem to be responding to the coaching.
You know, it's a great question. And there's no longer excuses. He's not a rookie anymore. I think he just needs to get serious. And I think it, you know, a lot of it does tie back to the coaching. I think you hit the nail on the head. you know, you hear reports that when DeFilippo was there, he really rode Wentz about the mechanics, and he was really a stickler for it. And the results showed that year. He was MVP of the league before he was hurt. And I just don't get the sense that whether it's Press Taylor or the other offensive coaching staff, they're being hard enough on him. And it's a concern. And, you know, that kind of parlays into my other big concern with the season. And that's really the offensive coaching staff. And that starts with Doug. I mean, we had such a dynamic offense in 2017. And I'm starting to really think that was all led by Frank Reich and his game planning. And, you know, I'll give Doug credit. He called the plays, you know, using those game plans. But I just think since then we've lost something with the offense. We haven't schemed to Carson's strengths. You know, let's take the first game of the season, for example. The team literally ran one rollout, one bootleg that Wentz ran. If you look at the statistics, he is an elite QB out of the pocket, and his numbers aren't nearly as good in the pocket. You know, couple that with the fact that you had an offensive line that was struggling. Let's move the pocket. Let's get Wentz out. And they didn't do that at all. Doug didn't do that at all. You know, we spent all this time in the offseason bringing in all new offensive coachings. You know, we fired Gro, which, you know, I think we all agree was a good move. I hope so, at least.
Rob was very happy. Rob threw a party.
They finally read his letters.
But quite honestly, you know, you bring all these guys in, Skaggs, you know, you have Taylor, you know, Marty Morningway, and I saw no difference in the offense. It was the same stale offense that didn't play to Carson's strengths. I think this team needs to start, you know, recognizing that and playing to Carson's strengths. And then, you know, I was infuriated this week, and you could tell I get so worked up about this topic with the rollouts and under center and the play action. You know, they asked Doug about this, and he had some nonsensical answer that made no sense, that, well, you can't do a rollout on second down if you didn't get yards on first down. Well, what about doing a rollout on first down? What, where's the rule that you can't do this every down? So, you know, I just think they need to take a hard look at the game plan and come up with something much better, much more dynamic. I mean, we have speed in Jackson and Rager now, and we have two tight ends who are two of the best in the league. If you scheme that right, how do you cover all those weapons? It just doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, Rob, but you got to keep Deshaun on play count. So I don't know if he can be there the whole time.
Yeah, I mean, I'll
let you take one. I can't even go there.
I mean, he only played 54% of the snaps. I don't get it. I mean, hopefully what was going on there was because of no preseason, whatever, the short off season, that they were just babying him back into game action, which I'm not a huge fan of, because he seemed like he was running fine in all the training camp videos we saw and stuff. And even on that deep ball, like, he was down there. There was just a miscommunication a little bit. And even on that Rager bomb where Wentz overthrew him, I guess according to people inside the building, that was more on Rager a little bit, because he kind of slowed down a little bit when he should have just been running 100% speed the entire time. But yeah, really, Doug P needs a wake up call. And that's really the issue with Doug P is a player's coach, right? So the positives of that are when their backs are against the wall, they rally for Doug. They seem to really like playing for Doug. But then when you got to be a hard ass on a guy like Carson, who probably needs some hard coaching, it's tougher to get that out of him, because he's like Doug P, the friendly guy, the guy everyone likes. The players that really need to be pushed, and Wentz certainly is falling into that, where he needs to be coached up. He needs to be coached hard. And I don't know if Doug or whatever their dynamic is, inside that building, he just isn't doing it, or Wentz is completely ignoring it. But it's like there's very clear pros and cons to Doug P, and the cons right now are outweighing the pros. I think that's one piece, something that I'm optimistic about, at least for this weekend, for moving forward, is, you know, we've been 5-6 these past couple of seasons and gotten the playoffs both times, because Doug P and Carson, especially at the end of last season, found a way to rally, found a way to figure things out with their backs against the wall. I mean, it sucks that it's in week one, where it feels like week two is almost already a must win situation. I think right now, maybe we could switch courses a little bit, talk about, and there were a bunch of positives, I thought, from game one. I mean, A, the fact that they at least took those deep shots, B, the fact that they connected with Rager on that 55 yard bomb. I mean, even that touchdown to Dallas Goedert, that was a beautiful touch pass by Wentz. Perfect ball tracking by Dallas Goedert, and Dallas Goedert had a huge game. I think probably one of his best games of his career. No one's really going to think about it because everyone else played like dog shit. Overall, I kind of liked what I saw about, from the defense, Josh Sweat flashing. That was promising. Cox still needs to do something, but Darius Slay held McLaurin to like two catches for, I don't know, 20 yards or something like that. So Darius Slay, Dallas Goedert, the fact that they were attempting the deep ball connected once on it. Those are all points of optimism for me. Justin, what do you, any bright spots from that dark, dark game?
I mean, Rager, I guess you could say, I know he muffed that one punt, which was fine. I mean, not fine, but we got back on it. So, you know, first game jitters, first punt jitters. And I know he only caught that one pass, but even that for just Eagles fans to not watch a guy like drop their first pass. And after having JJ last season, it looks nice to have a guy with speed out there. That was actually probably the best moment for me. Other than that, I don't know. Wentz looked good. He looked so good
until like that interception.
20 minutes of the game, and then until that first interception, yeah, he just looked like dog crap. So, I mean, if there's anything you could take away, is like two different games for Wentz. The beginning was great. That pass to Goddard was just. It was beautiful. I mean, Goddard made the perfect adjustment, but Carson put it in the perfect spot. It was awesome.
It was beautiful. Rob, let's get a couple bright spots before we move on to the Rams.
I think you guys hit them. Look, Rager, it's great to see the speed. I'm so optimistic about this kid. I think he can just continue to grow with Wentz and hopefully we'll get more and more involved. And I'll be honest. I honestly, although he was partially responsible maybe for the interception, it was great to just see Hightower on the field.
Yeah.
A late round pick rookie that actually got on the field the first game. So I'm encouraged by that. Now, was he perfect? No. I think he could have ran a sharper route, and it wasn't a great throw. So that goes both ways. But just the fact that he was out there is something that Whiteside wasn't really accomplishing. Goddard's coming into his own. I'm certainly encouraged by that. And I we have a cornerback. Slay lived up to the hype game one. It was one game.
Yeah.
But he did, as advertised, something we desperately needed. He took a receiver away. And I hope he can continue to do that. And I think the other under the radar thing, and I won't say I'm an expert on O-line, but everything I've been reading is that actually Driscoll played pretty well.
Yeah.
For his first game as a rookie. So, hopefully that just means he'll continue to grow as well.
Even Mailata didn't play half bad either.
Yeah. So. Good point.
Yeah. No, it was good to see some of those young guys because we are super old on the offensive and defensive line. And unfortunately maybe this is a season where we start paying up for that. All right, before we get to the Rams game, I want to give a shout out to the presenting sponsor, of course, mybookie.ag. Use that promo code SGP, play, win, and get paid. Use that promo code and get a 100% deposit bonus. They got it all, NBA, NFL, college football, live betting. That's always fun to get in there and bet it live. I mean, if you bet the Redskins when they were down 17-0, could have made a ton of money there. So, all right, check them out, mybookie.ag, promo code SGP. Moving over to the Rams game, Justin, I'll let you start things off. What is one thing we have to see from the defense to beat the Rams?
Just that defensive line pressure. I mean, you're going against Goff, and that's the thing that can kind of throw them off because he's kind of like McVay's puppy. So if you can, throw him off a little bit and get into his head, then it's going to throw the whole tempo of their whole game off. So that's the biggest thing.
Robbie,
line pressure.
What do you want to see out of the defense this week?
I think a lot falls on the secondary, Slay and some of those guys. The problem with the Rams and the D line is that they tend to get the ball out so quick with these short passes that I worry if our D line is going to have enough time to really disrupt Goff, or is he going to be getting rid of the ball quick? So I think we need that secondary to stay, step up. They may have to play a little tighter coverage and just not give up big plays.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I mean, kind of just piggybacking off your point, the defensive backfield to come up and press the receivers to kind of disrupt that quick passing game that they did all over the Cowboys. And I don't know, the Rams, I think that game was more about how bad the fucking Dallas Cowboys look, especially on the defensive side of the ball, than the Rams. Like, the Rams weren't doing anything tricky. They were just running a little hurry up, the kind of dink and dunk stuff. The, you know, Jared Goff is able to do it because it's perfectly scripted by McVay. But yeah, I didn't see anything that I don't think the Eagles could handle. And especially what really killed the Cowboys was Malcolm Brown and the Rams running game. And traditionally under Jim Schwartz, we've been really good at stopping the run. So if we can clog the run and force Goff into third and seven and plus, I think we'll be able to take care of him. And of course, Doug P owns Sean McVay, hasn't lost to Sean McVay. That's something I'm optimistic about. Justin, what do you want to see on the offensive side of the ball?
Protection. And I think Carson Wentz throwing the ball away. If he throws the ball away, it might be the first time a fan base applauds for their own quarterback throwing the ball away on a possession. Yeah, so that would be the biggest thing. I mean, get the ball out, protect, and throw the ball away if you need to.
Yeah,
don't do too much.
That's unfortunate that there won't be fans, because you know, even him taking a sack at the right time or throwing the ball away may have gotten a sarcastic applause break from the fans in Lincoln Financial. Rob, what do you want to see from the offense?
Play action rollout. Mm. Let's play to Wentz's strength, move the pocket. And, you know, not to mention Miles Sanders is back. So let's get, you know, Aaron Donald's going to be all over our line. They're going to be crushing this line again. Perfect time to get the screen game going. Yes. With Miles Sanders. Take advantage of the aggressive nature of the Rams defensive line. Use it to our advantage, scheme against it, and let's get Miles Sanders going.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's totally what I want to see. The running game being used to set up play action. And I want to see more of the 12 personnel where DeSean Jackson's out there for the majority of the game, him and Rager on the outside and Goddard and Ertz over the middle. And the Rams, actually, they didn't, if you saw, like, Cowboys had Jarwin and he went down, but I think there is opportunity against this Rams defense. I think it's going to come over the middle because Ramsey's not there. So I don't know what the Rams do. Maybe they just put Jalen Ramsey on DeSean Jackson the whole game and just don't let him do anything. I wouldn't be surprised. Maybe they put him on Rager. I think they would want to stick him on the veteran. And I think there is going to be opportunity over the middle with the two tight ends. I think Dallas wasn't able to do enough because of the injuries and some of their better receivers are on the outside. But I think the middle of the field is where you want to attack. So yeah, Ertz and Goddard over the middle, get them going. Any other things you want to see, have to see, Justin, out of this team, maybe some random thing. I mean, I'll start off. I want to see a return, like a clean special teams return. I think something like that to jumpstart the offense would really be helpful. So I'd like to see something from the return game. Pintandy?
I know it's super simple, but I'd like to see a little bit more of a run game established. It sounds a little old school, especially in this day and age of football. But yeah, just Miles Sanders. Once again, I feel like he's just always underrated. If it had been Alvin Kamara, not in the New Orleans game, they would have talked about that. And that's why they lost. I think Miles was a big reason as to why we lost last week. And I think just him running a little bit more could help us.
Rob,
this week,
what are you looking to see from the offense?
I'm ready for the long TD. You know, we got close last week. Rager had the 55 yard catch. You know, him and Wentz just missed on that other one that would have been a TD before halftime. Yeah, I'm ready for it. Whether it's with Rager or DeSean, you know, let's get one in the books. And you know, once we have one, that's just going to put more pressure on that defense that they got to respect that speed. And it's just going to open more up over the middle for our tight ends.
Yeah. And that's, that's what I, you know, transitioning out of kind of random stuff we want to see and heading over to the fantasy thing. I really like Jalen Rager and DraftKings this week. He's only $4,100. And we saw even Jalen Ramsey, I think we caught a little bit of a break there, him getting, you know, basically drawing that offensive pass interference on Gallup at the end of the game. And Gallup, Rager, I think, is a little bit faster than Gallup. So maybe if Ramsey is on Rager, regardless, I think he's a fun start in DraftKings this week because I do think they're going to roll coverage to Deshaun and try and lock up the tight ends. Although I think, and maybe they just put Ramsey on Ertz, but Goddard and Rager, those are the two guys I'm really looking to play in fantasy this week. Rager 4,100, Goddard 5,000, and Goddard, I think he was like, you know, 4,500 the week before. So people are all into the fact that Goddard may have a big fantasy season. Justin, who, if you had to start one Eagle in fantasy this week, who are you starting?
That's a tough one. I mean, obviously it depends on the league. I guess safest bet
DraftKings,
just cause he had a bad week last week, maybe Ertz.
Yeah.
If I'm going for, you know, sleeper, maybe I go Ward, just cause I think if they do open up the fields, do some slant routes and things like that, maybe he'd get a few more touches and kind of be a little bit of a sleeper for us.
Yeah. He's another guy that kind of gets overlooked and people even don't talk about him, but he was, you know, he came up with a couple clutch third downs and Wentz really likes throwing to him on third down, almost like a, you know, a tight end slash receiver combo hybrid. And he's only 4,200 on DraftKings. And you're right, Ertz, he's a little bit more expensive, 5,600. He really only had that touchdown catch. That was about it. Had that key drop. So maybe he bounces back. Drop,
yeah.
That was a backbreaker. But yeah, it's only $600 difference between him and Goddard. So that's kind of interesting. Robbie, what are you doing? You got to start one Eagle in fantasy. What are you doing this week?
You know, I was tempted to go Ertz too, because I do think Ertz had a down game and I think he's going to be looking for redemption. And, you know, a lot of people were on him, not only about the drop, but his demeanor throughout the game too, especially coming off these contract talks. So I do think it's possible he has a big game, but you know, I'm going to go Miles Sanders. I'm sure he's not a cheap DraftKings pick, but I just think he's poised to have a decent game. Hopefully, you know, Doug Peterson heard everyone screaming about the fact they didn't run at all last week, especially when they had the league. And, you know, I like Sanders out, you know, his attitude coming into the season. It sounds like he worked really hard this offseason. I just hope this hamstring's not going to be lingering. And as long as he's healthy, I think he could break out and have a pretty good game.
Yeah, I mean, that's a funny point about Doug P. He does seem to respond when the fans and the media just gang up on him and keep asking him to do one thing. Like, he actually does seem to respond to that. So we'll see if that comes true this week against the Rams. All right, we're going to get to final predictions in a second, but before we do, I want to give a shout out to DraftKings. Again, Justin, you were there when I won $200,000 with my Eagles heavy lineup. Make sure if you want a free shot at millions of dollars, use that promo code SGP over at DraftKings.com. Download that DraftKings app. Yeah, I mean, millions of dollars in prizes, couldn't go wrong there. DraftKings.com, promo code SGP. Okay, so let's do it. I came up with a segment called the Eagle's Nest. One player you really think will soar to new heights this week as a true Eagle. Justin, give me your guy that you're predicting having a huge game.
That kind of goes back to what I was saying before. I think it could be Ertz. I think he could definitely have a comeback game. He's always been pretty consistent for us, but with that down game and that drop, I just have a lot of faith in this game of making it happen for us. Yeah, Ertz.
Rob, what are we looking at? Who's going to step up?
I'm sticking with Miles Sanders. I think he comes out, you know, he's hungry, missed the first game, and, you know, he's going to make a difference not only in protection of Wentz, but I think he's going to be a playmaker.
I'm going to say, I know I called him out earlier in the podcast, but I think Fletcher Cox has a big game. You know, last Sunday was hot. It's, you know, in DC. I think the weather will be a little bit cooler. He's never a guy that's been in amazing shape. So I think that could have impacted him, but I have a feeling he's going to step up. We've always played well against Jared Goff and in particular the defensive line. So I think they could have a big game. Everyone saw that Rams Cowboys game and they thought it was more about the, you know, about the Cowboys, you know, the penalty and whatever. But really, I think the Eagles defensive line Fletcher Cox in the middle, bringing some interior pressure, getting Jared Goff off his spot. He's a guy, if you shake him up a little bit, get him out of rhythm, it's tough for him to succeed with all their like timing routes and everything else. So I think Fletcher Cox has a big game, and it can't hurt that Malik Jackson, he actually had a decent game as well. And then now we're getting a Hargrave back. So I'm excited to see him in an Eagles uniform. I think that will be a nice rotation there at defensive tackle, and Cox ends up having a huge game. All right, Patandy, Justin, let's bring it home. Right now over at mybookie.ag, the Eagles have moved to a 1-point favorite. Total is sitting at 45.5. What do you like there?
If you had asked me mid game or immediately after the game last week, I would have said we were going to lose by at least 20. but you know, we're getting a lot of guys back. A ton of guys back actually this week. And after that loss, I think, even Wentz is going to be a little bit more level-headed. So I'm thinking we're going to win 24-18.
Oh, okay. Interesting score total there. Rob, what are you doing?
24-20 Eagles win. I think everyone's going to look in the mirror. Most importantly, we have Lane Johnson back. Drastically increases our chances of winning. And I think, you know, I think Doug has no choice but to get a little more creative this week and hopefully listen to these 60 offensive coaches we brought in.
He's got to do something. I'll call it. I'm going to say 28-27. I would, if you're betting the Eagles, I would take the money line because I think this is going to be a close game. Rob, is it true? There's a rumor that you actually bet on the Rams for week two.
Oh man. I will not admit or deny.
Well, if you got them at Rams +2.5 earlier in the week, there's a nice middle here for you. And that's what I'm predicting. Rams 27, Eagles 28. So I think they get the W, but it's going to be another nerve wracking game as it always ends up being. All right. Any other, my lock on the NFL podcast, the NFL Picks podcast, week two with Bill Burr, that's out. Make sure you check that in the main sports gambling podcast feed for all our picks, best bets there. I took the Packers -6 at home against that banged up Detroit secondary as my lock outside of the Eagles. Justin, any other games you're betting on? What feels good from a line perspective here?
Oh man. You got me too early. I tried to look yesterday and I still couldn't decide on anything to put my money on after last week's losses. I don't have the confidence to put out a pick right now. I apologize.
Come on. Pick one game, Justin. You don't apologize. Step up to the plate. Cardinals laying 7 at home against the Skins. KC laying 8.5 in Los Angeles.
I'll take the, what are the Bucks laying, like 8.5?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll take the Bucks 8.5.
Okay.
Panthers. I think Tom's going to have a good game.
TB bounce back game. Yeah, I took the Panthers, but I could see it. I could see them rolling Tampa Bay. I'm not feeling great about that game, but fantasy, I definitely like them. And now I thought Godwin was going to be out. It looks like Godwin will actually play, so that'll help the Buccaneers as well. Robbie, one game outside the Eagles you're already thinking about betting.
Oh, man. I'm a Justin. You caught me a little early in the week here, but let me think. I'm gonna say I like Seattle against New England.
Yeah,
-4. I think Seattle's hot. You know, I know Cam may be good for a running touchdown or two, but their passing game was kind of limited. You know, I just like that. I think Russell Wilson plays well in big games.
They're finally letting Russ cook, and he's actually played well against Belichick in his three games. I think 888 yards passing, 8 touchdowns, only 1 interception. Of course, that 1 interception was in the Super Bowl, and of course, I had Marshawn Lynch to win MVP. And if he gets the goddamn ball at the 1 yard line and gets that second touchdown, it would have been all gravy. But Russ, I'm on the Seahawks as well, -4. This has been the Die Hard Eagles podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. Thanks for tuning in. Shout out to Rob, shout out to Justin, and shout out to SGPN for the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. I'm Sean, stacking the money green. Let it ride.